If you're here today and all you have is church membership, my friend, you need to get saved.
Amen.
If all you have is religion, you need to get saved. You need to have a time and place in your life where you know you passed from death unto life and you became a child of God. For me, it was a teenage boy, July the 19th, 1969. Jesus saw two brothers as they cast beside the sea. In a voice so kind, he spoke unto them. Put aside your nets and come and follow after me, and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't give to them religion or church membership. He didn't give to them some worldly appeal. But he changed them and gave them a brand new life to live. Jesus gave them something that is real. I was just a teenage boy when Jesus spoke to me. He touched me and he drew me close to him. At an old time revival, I knelt down and prayed. That's when Jesus took away my sin. He didn't give to me religion or church membership. He didn't give to me some worldly appeal. But he changed me and gave me a brand new life to live. Jesus gave me something that is real. It's nothing this old world could ever give to know what it means to really live. And when we see our neighbors lost and stumbling through their lives alone, and they're hurting and they have no way to heal, let us tell them of the Savior and all that he can do. Let us show to them a life that is real. It's not about religion or church membership, and there's nothing to this worldly appeal. Let him change you and give you a brand new life to live. Let Jesus give you something that is real. Let Jesus give you something that is real. Amen. Amen. I'm debating on doing something today. I don't know if I ought to do it or not. Have you ever heard that song, Glory, 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 Somebody Touch Me? It must have been the hand of the Lord. It was on a Monday, Somebody Touched Me. You ever heard that? Have y'all ever done it here? You've done it here? You think so? I tell you, we're going to try it. And the way this song goes, if you got saved on a Monday, then stand up. Brother, is it Brother Edsel? Estel. Edsel's an old car, isn't it? Brother Estel. What day was it? On a Wednesday. He told us back there a while ago, I talked about being saved. He said it was on December the 3rd, a Wednesday night. When he got, so he knows the day. Now some people are beginning to panic right now. They're saying, I don't know the day. I don't know the day. Everybody think I'm lost. I can't stand up. But if you know you were saved, there's no doubt about it. When we get to Sunday, when we get to Sunday, stand up with the Sunday crowd, all right? If you can't remember the date. For me, it was a Saturday night, old-fashioned revival meeting, when the Lord saved my soul. And glory, 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 somebody touched me.
must have been the hand of the Lord. It was on a Monday, somebody touched me.
Nobody got saved on a Monday? Man, most preachers take the day off on Monday. I guess the Lord does too. I don't know. Nobody got saved on a Monday, huh? Usually we got at least one, Brother Ross, at least one. Well, this is bad. I guess we'll move on to Tuesday, all right? It was on a Tuesday. Hey, we got one. We got another. Amen, amen. Somebody. No, remain standing. Remain standing. Through the whole song, all right? We'll add to you, all right? It was on a Tuesday.
Somebody touched me.
It was on a Tuesday. Somebody touched me.
It was on a Tuesday. Somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord.
Get ready, Brother Estill.
Now it was on a Wednesday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Wednesday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Wednesday. Somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord.
It's Thursday soul winning night, so surely we got some Thursdays, all right. It was on a Thursday.
Somebody touched me.
It was on a Thursday.
Somebody touched me.
It was on a Thursday.
Somebody touched me.
It must have been the hand of the Lord. Everybody sing with us now. Well, glory, glory, glory.
Somebody touched me.
Glory, glory, glory.
Somebody touched me.
Glory, glory, glory.
Somebody touched me.
It must have been the hand of the Lord. Now it was on a Friday.
Somebody touched me.
It was on a Friday.
Somebody touched me.
It was on a Friday.
Somebody touched me.
It must have been the hand of the Lord. Here's my day. Now it was on a Saturday.
Somebody touched me.
It was on a Saturday.
Somebody touched me.
It was on a Saturday.
Somebody touched me.
It must have been the hand of the Lord. All right, for our next song. Oh, wait a minute. We got one more day. We got one more day. The big day, right? It was on a Sunday.
Somebody touched me.
It was on a Sunday.
Somebody touched me.
It was on a Sunday.
Somebody touched me.
It must have been the hand of the Lord. I know you're not from Kentucky. You'd be clapping your hands by now. Anyway, or Tennessee. Now, let's sing it like we mean it, all right? Sing it from your heart. Well, glory, glory, glory.
Somebody touched me.
Glory, glory, glory.
Somebody touched me.
Glory, glory, glory.
Somebody touched me.
It must have been the hand of the Lord. Amen. All God's people said,
amen. Amen.
Let me hear what it sounds like. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. All right. Why should the charismatics have all the fun? Tell me that. Thank you, honey. Amen. All right. I've sung away part of my time, but I had a good time. I've enjoyed myself. And I want you to turn to the book of Psalms. Turn to the book of Psalms. You know, a practice in my life, I'd like to recommend it to you. I just recommend this. I start every day with Psalms. Every morning, I got to spend some time with God. I'm addicted to it. Turn to Psalm 1. We'll just start there. But I'm addicted to spending time with God in the morning. I was looking at my notes, and it was about 10 years ago, I guess. I taught that here in Sunday school.
It's a message I've preached over 100 times. Meet with God in the morning. It'll do something for your life. I preached at Marion Avenue Wednesday night. And boy, I was celebrating Wednesday night. That was the eve of my spiritual birthday. And I just preached a message, oh, magnify the Lord with me. I preached on salvation and preached about how good God is. I preached on S-A-V-E-D. The S stands for satisfaction. Salvation satisfies. Nothing else will satisfy that longing in your soul. And the A is for available. Availability. Salvation's available for everybody. Whosoever will, let him come. And I preached on V, the value of salvation. It's worth more than the whole world. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? And the E of saved is eternal. It's everlasting life. It'll never end. And the D is for done. D-O-N-E, it's done. All the other religions, and even some of the denominations and the cults, they're saying, do this. You might make it if you do enough. No, the Bible says it's done. Once for all, one sacrifice forever, Jesus Christ. Our salvation is done. I had a good time preaching on that. And I just rejoiced in the Lord. And a man came up to me after that service. A man who got saved in our church just about 3 years ago, an adult man, and he's, I guess, around 60 years old. And you know what? He came to our Christmas play, and he saw something in that Christmas play, and our pastor gives the plan of salvation at the end of the Christmas play, and it's a big production. Let me tell you, it's big, and we have thousands who come to see it, but we show it 7 times. But this man came to that. And then he called the pastor and he said, he was a member of some other church. And he said, I need to see you. And that man came and met with our pastor, Brother Joe Brown, and got saved in Brother Joe's office. I mean, the tears flowing. That man realized he had religion, but he didn't have salvation. And he got saved and he's coming faithfully. But after I preached that message on Wednesday night, he came up to me and he looked real serious. He said, brother, he appreciated the message. And he said, you know, I told the pastor, he said, I feel like something's missing in my life. And I feel like I just don't have what I had. And you know what? What God gives us, we need to maintain it. Amen. It needs to be maintained. And not our salvation, thank God. That's done. But the joy of the Lord, the walk with God, our time in the Word of God. And I recommended that man. The one thing I told him, I said, brother, let me tell you this. Get up in the morning and meet with God. I said, that'll do something for your soul. I can't give you any better advice than to get up in the morning, start your day with God, start your day in the Word of God, read some in the Bible, let God speak to you, and then get on your knees somewhere and pray, and you speak to God and praise God and thank God. And start your day with God, and the presence of the Lord will linger all through the day. So some of you needed to hear that. I just wanted to show you today. Let's just stand together as we look at some verses. I want you to notice this word trust. We're actually looking at Psalm 2. Psalm 2, the last verse, says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now, I taught on trust in the Sunday school hour. Some things, I may repeat myself a little bit here for you that were in that class. As you move through Psalms, you see it over and over again. Look at Psalm 4 and verse number 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. What good advice today. Look at Psalm 5. By the way, Psalm 5 has that great verse. Verse number 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. There it is twice. In the morning. Who wrote this? David, a man after God's own heart. What made David a man after God's own heart? One thing, he put God first. First in his life and first in his morning. And it made him a man after God's own heart. But in Psalm 5, look down at verse 11. but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Amen. When we trust in the Lord, we'll have joy in our life. And you move on, and there it is in chapter 7. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. And there it is all through the Bible. You find it over and over again. I love chapter number 9 and verse number 10. Oh, look at this. Verse number 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. And then verse chapter 11, verse number 1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? David was in trouble. David was being hunted down like an animal by King Saul. And some were saying, David, flee away, flee as a bird to your mountain. But he said, in the Lord put I my trust. And that's one reason I start every day in Psalms. I could go on and on through the book of Psalms, and you'll see that word trust again and again. The book of Psalms reminds me to trust in the Lord. And it also reminds me to praise the Lord and give glory and honor to God and praise His holy name. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Father, we thank You so much. Lord, I feel Your presence here today, and I thank You for that. Lord, I know everybody here misses their pastor, and thank God for him. Thank God he's a pastor that you would miss. I know they'll miss his preaching today. But Lord, somebody's being blessed today by his preaching, and I pray that you'd fill him with the Spirit of God and use him. And Lord, he called me. I know I'm unworthy, but Lord, he called me to stand here in his pulpit that you've given unto him and preach the Word of God today. Lord, please give me what I need. Give me what these dear people need. Lord, meet with us today. Lord, if there is someone here today and they have religion but they don't have salvation, open their eyes and show them, Lord, they need salvation. They need to be born again. If there's someone here today, Lord, and they know that they don't have salvation, Lord, may this be the day they would come to you. And Lord, I pray for us who do have salvation, those who could stand up today, Lord, and say it was on a Monday, or it was on a Wednesday, or it was on a Friday, it was on a Sunday that somebody touched me, and it was the hand of the Lord, it was Jesus. Lord, I pray that we might rejoice in our salvation, that we might tell others about our salvation, and Lord, that we might realize what salvation is today. It's trusting you for the keeping of our soul. Help me as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated today. And I want to preach about trust. I want to preach. You know, I got saved, and I got to tell you a little bit about how I got saved. And I've already told you. By the way, does anybody know what happened on July the 20th of 1969? Anybody know? Don't say it out loud. Raise your hand if you think you know. All right, we got two hands. Anybody else think you know what happened on July the 20th? Of 1969, a monumental something happened that day. All right, we got four that think they know. You know, I was going to give a Reese's cup to anybody that got the right answer. All right, we got more that know now, but at least they're going to think, try to give an answer anyway. But we're going to let this young man down here give us an answer. On July the 20th, 1969. Now it was on the 19th, the day before that I got saved. And I gave my heart to the Lord. But what happened? There's a man way back in the back. Okay, brother. Exactly right. Man walked on the moon July the 20th of 1969. It was Neil Armstrong. Brother, I'll bring you a Reese's cup tonight. You got to come to the night service. I got some in my basket from Miss Tina in the church here. I got some in my basket, so I can afford to give some away. And brother, if you come, will you be here tonight? I'll give you one because you came close, all right? And, brother, I'll give you one. You knew the answer? I could tell he did. I could tell he did. When I mentioned Reese's cup, that hand went up. I knew he knew it. And so I'll bring you one tonight, all right? And, but you know what? On July the 20th, man walks on the moon, but on July the 19th, I found the sun. Amen. I came to the Son of God. And he saved my soul. Oh, it was, And it was on July the 19th that I got under such conviction that I thought I was going to hell before the day was over. I mean, conviction of sin. My friend, do you know that you've got to have that to be saved? You've got to be convicted of your sin. I believe with all my heart and soul, I believe in knocking on doors, and I believe in going into people's homes. I believe in opening the Bible and showing them verse by verse how to be saved. And I believe people can be saved right there in their own home. Do we have any today you got saved in your home? Somebody visiting, showing you how to be saved in your home? There's several hands right. It can be done. But I also believe this. There's got to be conviction. The Holy Ghost of God's got to be dealing with somebody and showing them that they're lost. It's pretty easy to get somebody to say, yeah, I'm a sinner. I admit that I'm a sinner. But you know what? I think we ought to show them hell in the Bible. Show them that lake of fire. Show them what God has to say about the penalty of sin and the destiny of those who do not get saved and the guilt of those who are without Jesus Christ. We need to show them that in the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. I would rather show somebody how to be saved, and if they really don't have much interest, leave them for the Holy Ghost to work on them and then go back at another time and see what God has done, then just try to get somebody to pray a prayer if they're not ready and truly ready to come to the Lord to repent and turn to Jesus and be saved. And I don't know why I said that, but I said it today. But I believe in salvation. I believe it's an instantaneous thing, but it may take God a while to get us to the place where we're willing to trust in the Lord and receive Him as our Savior. I'd heard the gospel. I was 15 years old. I was 15 years old and 15 and a half. And the church people could see that I was getting older and I was not coming to the Lord. My mother loved the Lord. My dad was a Christian. My dad had been saved as a young man, but he got away from God and backslid. I want to say this. Thank God. The night I got saved, my dad got right with God. Hey, don't give up on anybody. My dad was 60 years old. 60 years old, and I was a 15-year-old boy. And the night that I went down the aisle, I heard a voice behind me say, "Oh, Steve." And it was my dad. My dad was at church that night. He didn't normally come to revival meetings. He didn't always go on Sunday. But Dad hit the altar that night. And Dad repented and Dad got right with God and turned his life fully over to the Lord. And he lived 30 more years, lived to be 90 years old as a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night Christian, tithing, reading through his Bible every year. I'm saying don't give up on anybody. Amen. Don't give up. Well, I'm thankful. I went to the baseball park. That was my God. Sports had become a God in my life. I knew I needed to be saved. I'd heard it so many times. I'd heard it preached with power. My wife's daddy was the pastor of that church down in Canelton, Indiana. He was an old-fashioned preacher from the mountains of Tennessee. I mean, he'd get warmed up preaching, and he'd preach 90 miles an hour. He'd walk down the aisle, go back to the back door, turn around, walk back up the aisle, just preaching up a storm. Didn't even need any notes, just preaching away. And I heard the gospel from him time and time again, but I didn't want to be saved. I wasn't ready to be saved. And we had a man named Dewey Cooper that would come from Eastern Kentucky. And Brother Dewey Cooper would preach. He'd cry, and then he'd shout. He'd take his coat off. There he stood in a white shirt. His face would get as red. It looked like a thermometer. And there was that white shirt and that red face. But, I mean, he'd jump up and shout. And he'd leave the pulpit and preach all over the church. And I heard about salvation from him, but I wasn't ready to be saved. And one day I was at the ballpark, July the 19th, I was at the baseball park. My friend and I, the guy that wrote that song, Jeremy Farmer, we were there throwing the ball, batting the ball to one another. We loved baseball. And we looked over and a man came walking over the parking lot. I knew the man. I knew the man. He had been my seventh grade teacher. And I respected him, but I didn't know him as a good Christian. He told us that he had been saved, but he didn't live a Christian life. He didn't go to church faithfully. He'd even tell us a bad joke once in a while. And I didn't know him to be a dedicated Christian at all. But that day, he came walking across that parking lot, and he was as serious as a judge. I mean, his face was just total serious. I didn't see him like that very often. And one time he gave me a paddling in the seventh grade, and he looked like that then. But for throwing snowballs, that's all I did. I threw snowballs at break time, and I got a paddling. Today, they can throw hand grenades and get away with it. But he was so serious. He said, "Boys," he said, "I didn't even know you were here. But," he said, "something told me to stop." He was driving by the baseball park. And he said, "something told me to stop." And that man stood there that day and told us about Jesus, about being saved, about the cross, about the blood, about heaven, about hell. He just talked about it. He didn't open the Bible and show us. He just talked about it. And I got under such conviction. I mean, what that red-hot preaching of my wife's daddy and the red-hot preaching of Dewey Cooper did not accomplish. They planted seeds and they watered seed, no doubt. But God used that man and God used that time to bring me under such conviction that I knew I had to do something. I had to get saved. I thought, I'm going to hell and I know it. Jesus is coming back and I'll be left behind. I've got to get saved. Now that man made no attempt to lead me to the Lord. He just delivered the message and he was gone. But I want to make a point here. Some of you wonder, could God use me? Could God use me to lead somebody to the Lord? You think God could use me? My friend, he used that man. He used that man, and that man was not even right with God. Now, I will say this. He came to the meeting that night. He came to the revival meeting, and he hit the altar that night. Brother, we were having revival. We were having a red-hot revival. And we were in the heat of revival. And you know, people say, well, I wish we could see conviction like that again. I wish we could see people brought under conviction like that again. Well, maybe we ought to pray like those people prayed. Those people prayed. Now, they talk about old-time religion. They would start their service with prayer at the altar. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that. Most churches don't, hardly any church. I don't think I know of a church, maybe one other I've seen that does that, but that's the way they did it in Tennessee, I guess. And everybody would come to the altar, those that would, and they'd start the service praying at the altar. And you know, when they'd get up, there'd be tears on the altar. You could see tears on the altar, and you don't see that much anymore. You know what, my friend? God hadn't changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, "I am the Lord. I change not." God has not changed. We have changed. Christian people have changed. I just believe we have. I believe we've become modernized. We've become pacified. We've become so used to the world. We've become accustomed to the dark. We don't seek God like we ought to seek God. God was moving in that church, but I didn't get saved until that day that man came and witnessed to me. And I went home and I got cleaned up. And I remember saying to my mom, said, "Mom, I'm going to church tonight and I'm going to get saved." You know, my mom probably should have said, "Well, you might not make it to church. You better get saved right now." But, you know, I didn't know much. All I knew was I saw people come to the altar. I saw them pray. I saw them get up and they were different. They were different. I saw that happen a lot. And that night I went to that church. I sat on the back row. I sat on the back row, way back. My best friend came in and sat beside me. And just so happens Dewey Cooper was preaching that night, the preacher from Eastern Kentucky, the thermometer man. He was preaching that night. And I'm telling you, he preached up a storm. He always did. He had such a burden for souls. He'd cry. But I'm telling you, my friend, I don't know one word that he said. I don't know a word the man said. I was sitting on the back row just thinking, I'm going to hell. Jesus is coming, and if he comes right now, if that trumpet sounds right now, all these people will rise. They'll go to be with the Lord, and I'll be left sitting here on this pew That's going through my mind. I could visualize myself in hell. I knew I was lost. I don't know what the man was saying. I just waited for the invitation. Finally, they gave the invitation. I went down the aisle. My best friend, Jeremy, went down the aisle. Another young man down the aisle. There we were, just praying. I was weeping. I was crying like a baby, asking the Lord to save my soul. But you know, I had seen people saved, and I'd heard people give testimonies. And I heard this testimony again and again where people said, oh, I felt something. I felt something. And one person said, it was like an electric shock went through me. I just tingled. And I heard somebody else say, you know, when I got saved, it's like I saw a hand coming down from heaven just saying, take my hand. And I heard testimonies like that. And so I was praying at the altar, waiting on some kind of a feeling. I was waiting for some shock to go through me or waiting to see that hand come down from heaven. I don't know what all I was waiting on, but I was doing everything but trusting the Lord as my Savior. Oh, I'd repented. There's no doubt about that. I had repented. I was so sorry. I was trying to confess every sin I'd ever thought of, every sin I'd ever committed. And I was there, and finally I stood up, and the pastor was standing beside me. And I said, you know, I feel like I've given the Lord everything. And you know what? I hadn't given the Lord everything. I hadn't given the Lord everything, but I know that I was sure sorry for everything. And I said, I feel like I've given the Lord everything. And the pastor, the wise man, said, well, let the Lord give you something. Boy, that's when it clicked. That's when the light came on. And I saw salvation's not me giving him something. Salvation is receiving what he's already done for me. Salvation is receiving him as a gift of God, taking what God has already provided. And he said, let the Lord give you something. So standing there beside the altar, I said, and people standing all around me, they'd been there quite a while praying for me. And people standing all around me, God's people. And with tear-dimmed eyes, I mean with red eyes, I said, right now, I receive Jesus as my Savior. And what I meant was, feeling or no feeling, hand or no hand, no matter what I feel, right now, I trust Jesus as my Savior. I receive Him as my Savior. And brother, that's when the salvation came. That's when salvation came, sweet and wonderful and powerful. A peace passing understanding came into my soul. A joy, oh, I had joy. I had so much joy. But it did not come until I trusted the Lord. I had to trust Him. I couldn't wait for a feeling. I had to trust Him. You know what? I had to let go of some things. I had to let go of my expectations of what I was going to see or hear or feel. I had to let go of that. I had to let go of my own of trusting in anybody or anything else. I just had to let go. And I said, right now, I receive Jesus. I trust Him. And He saved my soul. By the way, you know the greatest evidence that I saw that I was saved? I mean, I had the joy of the Lord. I went home and I don't know if I slept on the bed. I think I floated around the room that night. I was so light. That burden of sin was gone. Does anybody remember? Now, I know children, little children. My son Sam got saved at 5 or 6. And you say, well, was it real? He's a pastor today. And my daughter got saved. Charity got saved when she was about 5, I think. And you say, was it real? Did she really get it? Well, she's a pastor's wife today and serving God with all of her might. So children can be saved. And they won't experience. I'd been fighting conviction. I'd been fighting it for a long time. And I knew. And you know, I wondered this too. I wonder if that was my last call. The conviction was so strong. And God picking out a man, a worldly man that wasn't even dedicated to Him. He had been saved, but he wasn't dedicated. Picked out that man, brought him to the ballpark, put him right before us. I wonder if that was my last call. And if God was drawing me with such power because my life was about to end if I had not been saved. I don't know that to be true. All I know was it was supernatural. But I'll tell you this too. People were praying for me. People were praying. Here's something you don't hear much anymore. And it's sad. Even in our independent Baptist church, you don't hear this much anymore. I got a burden for him. I've got a burden for her. Do you hear it much? I don't hear it much. I've really got a burden. But I used to hear that all the time in the church where I got saved. People would stand up and testify and sometimes cry and say, pray for my brother, pray for my uncle, pray for my neighbor, pray for my sister. I got a burden for them. They need to be saved. And people had a burden for me. Oh, they were praying. I know they were praying to the Lord, save Steve Epley. Lord, save him. He's getting older. He's almost 16. Lord, please save him. I believe God heard those prayers. But here's the greatest evidence that I saw. The Bible says in 1 John 3:14, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's in 1 John. We love the brethren. What an evidence of salvation. When I walked in the church that night, I didn't love the brethren. My mom was there. I loved her. And there were some people there I liked. But there were also some people there I didn't like. And there was one woman there I hated. Now, I hate to say that, but there was a woman there, I hated her. And I'll tell you why. I was a smart aleck. I was a loudmouth. And loudmouth teenager. And I was in a restaurant uptown, Candleton, Indiana. And this woman owned the restaurant. I was in there with a bunch of my friends, and I was getting loud, and I don't know what I was doing, no telling. And she said, you're going to have to leave. She made me leave that restaurant. And I walked out of there, all my friends looking at me, probably laughing at me. She embarrassed me to death. And I hated that woman. I despised her. But she was a member of that church. And she was there that night. And boy, when I got saved, I was standing there crying and people were coming around congratulating me, hugging my neck. We were rejoicing, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me and having a time and people coming around and all of a sudden there she stood right in front of me. And I'm telling you, I loved that woman. I loved that woman. And I hugged her. She hugged me. By the way, she shouted. How long's it been since you heard an old-fashioned shout? I mean, woo! The female version of that. She stood there and she shouted. No doubt she was thinking, if the Lord can save him, he can save anybody. And I hugged her. I hugged that woman. Now, she was elderly. I used to say that. And one day my wife said, honey, do you know how old? It was my wife's aunt. She was a sister to the pastor. My wife's aunt is who it was. And one day she said, honey, do you know how old the woman was? What was it? She was 47. I thought she was elderly. So these teenagers here, they're looking at me. They're thinking, yeah, this is the Ancient of Days up here preaching to us right now. I'm telling you. But I hugged that woman. Now, I don't know who this is for today. I just know, I believe I'm right on the page God wants me to be on this morning. I'll tell you, there's nothing like salvation. There's nothing like it. But in order to be saved, we have to trust the Lord. We've got to trust him. I had some other points here. I never got to them. I may do them tonight. I don't know. We're coming back at 6 o'clock. If you're coming back tonight at 6, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. How many of you say, I wouldn't miss it? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, those that are not coming back, identify yourself. All right. You know what? It's the Lord's day. It's not just the Lord's morning. Amen. It's the Lord's day. Oh. Are you saved? Do you know that you're saved? Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I was going to talk about trust in the Lord in other areas. There's a time in my life, several times in my life, where I just had to let go. Let go of my own ability, let go of my own, even my own plans, and just trust the Lord. And when I did that, God came through. He loves to be trusted. That's what faith is. I wonder today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you could say, Brother Epley, I may not have had exactly the experience that you had, but there's no doubt in my mind, I can go back to a time in my life, and you might have been a child. You might have been a teenager, and it may just have happened. But you say, I can go back to a day. You go back to July the 19th, 1969. Brother Epley, I can go back to a day. Or maybe it was a night when I know Jesus saved my soul. There's not one doubt in my mind. Nobody could talk me out of it. In a million years, I know Jesus saved my soul. Would you raise your hand as a testimony? And God bless you who are able to raise your hand. God bless you. You are blessed. You're more blessed than you know. You may put them down. Is there somebody today that say, Brother Epley, I just can't go back to that time. You might be like a teenager who got saved in a tent meeting from our church. And he started weeping and he told the pastor, he said, my mom and dad said I prayed when I was 5 years old, but he said, I don't remember it. I don't remember it. He said, I got to get saved. I just wonder, is there somebody today that would just simply raise the hand and say, pray for me, preacher. I don't know that I'm saved. Is there anybody like that today? Just raise your hand and put it back down. Say, preacher, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Is there anybody like that? Oh, I sure hope that means that everybody in this building is saved and you know it. But you know, you may be sitting there thinking right now, I didn't raise my hand, but I'm really not sure. Oh, my friend, don't leave this world without being sure. Don't leave this building without being sure. You can be sure. But I also want to say this today, you that raised your hands, saying, Brother Epley, there's no doubt about it, I'm saved. Jesus saved me. Have you told anybody in the last 7 days? Have you witnessed to anybody in the last 7 days? Have you handed out a tract? Have you cared for anybody's soul? What about your neighbors? People you come in contact with? Something as wonderful as salvation. How can we keep it quiet? How can we not tell people about it? I haven't preached today about a lot of sin, but you may be sitting there today and say, yes, I'm saved, but I know there's something in my life that shouldn't be there. I know I've got something in my life, and that's probably the reason why I'm not telling people about Jesus. And Brother Epley, that's the reason why I don't have the joy that you've got today. I got something in my life, it shouldn't be there. I'm doing something, I'm watching something, I'm hooked on something. I'm going somewhere I shouldn't be going. I'm thinking thoughts I shouldn't think. I'm watching something I shouldn't be watching. I'm involved in something I shouldn't be involved in. I'll tell you, it won't take your salvation away. That's bought by the blood, but it can take your joy away. It can take your peace. It can take your testimony. It can take your family away from you. Lord, I just pray you deal with hearts as we give this invitation. Do your work, Lord. If somebody does need to be saved, I pray they'd step out and come and say, I need salvation. I need somebody to touch me and change me. I don't want to go to hell and I don't want to live a life of defeat. Lord, there may be a child of God that needs to come today and say, I want the joy of my salvation back. I want my joy back. And they may need to come and repent and get rid of something today and forsake something today and leave it. Whatever the need is, Lord, meet the needs in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The music begin to play. If God has spoken to your heart, would you come today? If God has spoken to your heart, would you step